Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Matt and Steve get into Major League Baseball in the season pass and the season to come, plus NFL mega contracts. That on top of the Tweet Zone and Sports Appeal, we have special guest Danny Cunningham of D&E Sportsline on NEO Community Radio. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future.
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can get us every week right here, as always. Check us out on iTunes. Go give us a review. Rate us 5 stars. It really helps us out a ton when you guys do that. Find us on Twitter, at The Sports Appeal. We try to respond to every single person who tweets at us, so make sure you get on there and do it. We have a lot of fun interacting with you guys. All the music on the show, provided by Full Service, they're our studio band. You can find all their stuff on iTunes and Spotify or their YouTube channel. As always, the man behind the curtain is our producer, Johnny Five.
And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. Look back to the first half of the season. Look forward to the second half of the season. We're going to talk about some NFL mega contracts. But on the line right now, we've got Danny Cunningham with us, a host of D&E Sportsline on NEOCommunityRadio.com and master of all things Cleveland sports. Danny, how you doing today?
How's it going, guys?
Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Of course. Very excited to be on.
So since you're the Cleveland guru, obviously we want to ask you about the Cavs and their offseason. They signed some big free agents back to the team. How long do you think they can sustain a super team with these salaries that they're paying?
I think that they're going to be able to keep this core together for the next 4 to 5 years. Obviously, we saw Kevin Love is signed for the next 4 years with an option for that fifth year. LeBron James isn't going anywhere. That's silly to even think he would contemplate leaving Cleveland again. Amon Shumpert will be around. Kyrie Irving now has a contract that looks like an absolute steal because of when it was signed and what it was signed for. So I think that this group of guys is going to be together for the next 4 to 5 years. And I think they are going to be able to add another piece, maybe not now, but next offseason possibly. So this team's going to be a force to be reckoned with for quite a while.
Do you want J.R. Smith back?
I do want J.R. Smith back. I am actually a big fan of J.R. Smith. I think he's one of the very few guys in the league that can get hotter than just about anybody else.
That's true.
And I think he's been in the right situation, especially playing with LeBron. It's a lot different than kind of the knucklehead situation he was with when he was in New York. I think it's a great fit for him in Cleveland, and I really want him back in a Cavs uniform.
We know you think the Cavs are going to win this year. So if the Cavaliers don't win a title this year, what will be the reason?
I think the reason they would not win a title would be that LaMarcus Aldridge went to the San Antonio Spurs.
Good call.
I really think that the Golden State Warriors, they did deserve to win a title this year, but if the Cavs had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and were a healthy team, I don't think it goes the way that it did, and I hate to be the guy that says shoulda, woulda, coulda, but I really think if the Cavs were healthy, it would have gone a little bit different than it did.
Yeah, I can tell you, me and Steve were both really hoping for that matchup with those teams healthy, because that really would have been a fantastic matchup.
Yes, there would have been points galore.
Yeah, if LeBron brings a championship to that city, he's going to be a god forever. But I want to ask you about when he left in 2010. Did you burn your jersey?
I did not burn my jersey, and I actually have a funny story about that. On July 11th of 2014, when he came back to Cleveland, I was actually on vacation with a friend in Chicago, and I obviously followed all the LeBron stuff about him coming back. I was one of the people that tracked Dan Gilbert's plane. I was refreshing Twitter every 30 seconds. I could not get enough of this stuff because I really had this feeling he was going to come back. Now, I was eating lunch downtown with my friend, and I had a feeling it was going to happen that day, good or bad. He was either going to announce he was going back to the Heat, or he was going to say, I'm coming home, as he did. I was eating lunch in the middle of a restaurant, and I snuck my Cavs Navy LeBron jersey from his first era in Cleveland in his book bag. And as soon as I saw the SI article and the Instagram picture, I immediately pulled it out and put it down in the middle of the restaurant. Probably 250 to 300 people came up to me and said something. I had people asking me to take pictures of me so they could tweet it at Dan Gilbert. And I went to the Cubs game that day at Wrigley Field, and I actually saw a couple other people with Cavs jerseys on and met up with them. It was really a surreal day, a surreal experience.
That's unbeatable. That is awesome.
Now, how much say do you think LeBron has in personnel decisions?
I don't want to call him the GM, but I think he has a lot of pull in what happens with the Cavs. Obviously, Tristan Thompson's going to get taken care of because of LeBron liking him and Rich Paul being his agent, which obviously is LeBron's agent as well.
Sure.
I do think he has a lot to say in the offseason stuff, but I don't think that the J.R. Smith and Timo and Amon Shumpert things all happened because of him. I think David Griffin got those lined up and then went to LeBron and say, hey, what do you think about us doing this? We have it lined up now. I don't think he went out and orchestrated those trades, but I do think he approved of them.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Let's switch gears and talk about baseball a little bit. You wrote an article about the Indians, about how this was their year. They're going to win the World Series. What happened? What happened?
At the beginning of the year, the injury bug got them, and that really prevented them from getting anything going at all. Michael Brantley has been dealing with a sore back for the greater part of the season. Jan Gomes, who was supposed to be the right-handed bat, he sprained his MCL, I believe, the fifth game of the season against the Detroit Tigers at home when Rajay Davis slid into the plate and kind of took him out. It wasn't a dirty play or anything, but he slid into his leg and sprained his MCL, which is very unfortunate. He was out for a month and a half to 2 months. And once all those things happened, the Indians started to lose. They started off 7-14, excuse me. And since then, they have been a little above 500. I believe they are 35-33 since that time. I actually included that in an article I wrote the other day. But their hitting just hasn't been there. They've been one of the worst teams in baseball hitting with runners in scoring position. They actually cannot hit home runs with guys on base. It's unbelievable how many of their home runs are solo home runs compared to home runs with guys on base. It's crazy to look at, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I assure you it's unlike anything you've ever seen. However, on the bright side, their pitching staff has been absolutely terrific. They've been outstanding. They're one of the first teams, I think they're the first team ever, to have four starting pitchers with over 100 strikeouts before the All-Star break, which is absolutely incredible. So things aren't going as planned this year, obviously, but all of these guys are locked up until around 2020. So they do have time to build on this season, but obviously it's not going as planned this year.
Yeah, especially with the Royals playing the way they are, and Minnesota, somehow they just keep winning. I don't get that team at all.
Yeah, and in Minnesota, I think a lot of that can be attributed to Torii Hunter. I think he brings a big veteran presence that's extremely underrated. He learned how to win in Detroit, and he's brought that back to Minnesota, and I think that is a big reason why they're doing so well. And the Royals have honestly surprised me, too. I expected them to take a step back after last year. I thought they were very comparable to the 2013 Cleveland Indians that went on that run late in the season and made it to the wild card game before losing to the Tampa Bay Rays. But they've obviously proved me wrong. They've been outstanding all year. They've been arguably the best team in baseball or the best team in the American League.
We got one last question for you. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I have never considered a hot dog a sandwich.
Thank you.
I know you people in Chicago don't put ketchup on your hot dogs, and I've got to agree with you there. But I don't call it a sandwich, no.
The score's piling up here, Matt. You're losing big time.
I'm sticking to my guns. A hot dog is still technically a sandwich. I'm sticking with it.
You're insane.
I never questioned that.
I think my reasoning for that is it's on a bun. It's not on bread. It's on a bun. If it were on two pieces of bread, it would be a sandwich, but it's not.
That's fair. That is totally fair.
All right.
Danny Cunningham, thank you so much for joining us today. You can find Danny on D&E Sportsline on NEOCommunityRadio.com on Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Check him out there. Danny, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate having you on. Talk to you for a little bit down the road.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great talking to you.
Right now, we're going to throw it to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Alrighty, and our first question is coming from at Roll Tide Pride. Who is your front runner for the Heisman? Mine would be Alabama's Derrick Henry.
Absolutely shocking that Roll Tide Pride thinks it's going to be an Alabama player. I disagree. I think it's going to be Nick Chubb. I'm going with the sophomore running back from Georgia. He did an awesome job filling in for Todd Gurley last year when he got hurt. Ran for 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns, and I expect his production to go up this year. They lost their senior quarterback, and I think he's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to be the Heisman winner.
I think it's going to be Connor Cook at Michigan State. He had a really good season last year with 24 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, and Michigan State was a fantastic team last year. The only teams they ended up losing to all season were the teams that were in the national championship final game. Connor Cook is coming back for his senior year. I think he really is hungry this year. He's going to put up an excellent season. So look for him to really make some noise with the Spartans this year. I think he'll be the Heisman Trophy winner.
I think Connor Cook is probably one of the best pro prospects in college this year, but I don't think he's going to win the Heisman, and it's not his fault. It's just because Michigan State doesn't pass the ball enough. I think for a quarterback to win the Heisman, you really have to have a prolific air attack, and Michigan State hasn't had that, and I don't see them having it this year.
Well, now that Jeremy Langford is gone, they might have to pass the ball more because he was really the engine that made that whole offense go, and Connor Cook is going to have to step his game up without Jeremy Langford there to take some pressure off, and I think he's up to the task.
And at Roll Tide Pride, Derrick Henry has a shot too. He absolutely does.
All right, let's bring it right along to at Bisbing. Does Fitzpatrick have any real shot at stealing the job from Geno? And how big of an impact will Marshall have?
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has a very good shot at stealing the starting job from Geno. In fact, I fully expect that to happen. Last year especially, Fitzpatrick had a great season. He put up a 95.3 passer rating, 17 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in 12 games of work. Those aren't incredible numbers, but it's better than anything you've gotten from Geno Smith, at least regularly.
It's better than anything you've gotten from the Jets for the last 6 years. So, he definitely has a shot, especially with Chan Gailey there, who was his offensive coordinator in Buffalo when he had his best season. So I really think that's going to help a lot. Also going to help the second half of the question here, Brandon Marshall. The impact he's going to have is more than just being a number one wide receiver. He lets Eric Decker go back to his natural position of a number two receiver, where he really flourished in Denver. So I think the passing offense is going to be a lot better, especially if Fitzpatrick gets to play. But Brandon Marshall is going to help improve this offense a lot.
I know firsthand how much of a headache Brandon Marshall can be, but I also know firsthand just how much of a game changer Brandon Marshall can be. When he came to Chicago, the offense got better. I mean, he's just a beast in the passing game. He's not incredibly fast, but he's fast enough. And then he's just so good at high-pointing the ball and out-muscling defensive backs for receptions and then getting yards after the catch. So he's really going to make that Jets offense go.
Alrighty, and our last one requires a little bit of setup. Let's step back 1 week to our previous episode of Sports Appeal. If you were listening, you may have heard a little idea floated by Mr. Axelrod over here. The idea was that, hey, let's bench Peyton Manning, put him on the bench for all of the standard season, and then in the playoffs, let's roll him out so that he's super fresh. Well, we had some major responses to that. We had some passionate responses. Let's read them, shall we? At BHannon11, he's saying, hey, Axelrod, benching Peyton? Have you completely lost your mind? Hashtag terrible sports ideas. Hashtag absurd. Hashtag Peyton Manning. Hold on, it gets better, Axelrod.
Okay.
At the real Yost, Axelrod, I want some of what you're smoking, bud. Osweiler for starter? I think the Broncos actually want to make the playoffs.
So first of all, I think they'd be good enough to make the playoffs even with Brock Osweiler starting. And that's kind of what this whole thing is premised on. Obviously, if Brock Osweiler comes in and shits the bed, you switch to Peyton Manning after a couple games. But I think it's at least worth a try because otherwise Broncos fans are going to be wondering what the hell happened again come February when Peyton Manning is running around on one leg or, you know, has some other injury. Because the guy's 39. His body can't handle full NFL season anymore. So it's either my idea or just watch them fail in the playoffs again.
When you suggested this last week, I probably should have been more outraged, but I was just so caught off guard. Suggesting benching a Hall of Famer for a guy who hasn't started a game at any level for 4 years is absolutely asinine. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. The Broncos aren't going to pay him $15 million to sit on the bench and bring in some kid who's never started an NFL game in his life. It's just not going to happen. It's a terrible idea.
Okay, do they want to win a Super Bowl? Because they're not going to if they start Peyton Manning this entire season. He's going to get hurt, and he won't be able to play in the playoffs. It's as simple as that to me.
No, there might be, like, a shred of logic to what you're saying, but it's ridiculous. It's never going to happen. It's not real. Let it go, man.
You're right, it's never going to happen, but it fucking should.
Oh my God, you're ridiculous. Tweet at us, at the Sports Appeal. Tell Matt how stupid he is. This is the worst idea ever.
This is not a stupid idea. This is thinking outside the box. This is revolutionary. It should be tried. It needs to be tried, because otherwise they're not winning a Super Bowl again. That's it for the Tweet Zone. Tweet us at the Sports Appeal. We'll get it on the show. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the MLB, the season past, and the season to come.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. We're going to spin it forward, talk about Major League Baseball, take a look back at the season so far, look ahead at the season and what's to come. So starting with looking back, we made some predictions before the season started about division winners, and they're holding up pretty good so far. We did pretty well. In the American League, we were right about the Yankees and the Angels. We were very wrong when we predicted the Tigers. And then in the National League, we were both right about the Nationals. I was right about the Cardinals, and you were right about the Dodgers. We're doing pretty well so far, Matt.
Yes, we are. And now I think the big surprise from the first half of the season, we talked about this a little bit ago, is the Minnesota Twins. They are now sitting at 50-40. They're 10 games over 500, and they don't have any damn talent on the team. How are they doing this?
They're on pace for 90 wins. It kind of came out of nowhere. As a matter of fact, when we did our preseason preview, we just kind of passed over and we were like, we don't need to talk about the Twins, no big deal. But now they're four games out of first place in their division behind the best team in the American League.
They've been really shockingly good, and a couple other teams in their division have not been that good. Detroit is sitting at 45-44, although they've been playing better lately. And the White Sox, who I thought were going to win like 85 games, are under 500 at 42-46. And they've just been kind of a mess this season.
Yeah, Detroit has been playing better lately. J.D. Martinez has been absolutely on fire. And then the other team that's been a big surprise is the Houston Astros. They're 50-42, second place in their division. Who do you think is more likely to keep it up for the rest of the season, the Astros or the Twins?
The Astros, because they have talented players on the team.
I totally agree.
And Carlos Correa has been fantastic. I've heard predictions that by the end of the season, he'll be considered the best shortstop in baseball. Now, I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but the kid is legit.
He is legit, and they have Dallas Keuchel on their team. They got George Springer, who's injured for the season, but they do have a lot of talent. Minnesota has Byron Buxton, who looks like he's going to be a really good player, but I don't see them keeping this up for the rest of the season, which we said 3 weeks ago, and they're still doing it, so I don't know.
Yeah, in fact, right after we were talking about them 3 weeks ago, they lost like 8 of 10 games, and then all of a sudden they just turned it around again, and they've been really good again. In terms of individual players, my big story for the first half of the season is Bryce Harper, who everyone's been saying his whole career, this kid has all the potential in the world. I mean, he came into the majors at, 18 years old? Has had a very good career so far, and he's been a difference maker. But this season, he's just taken his game to a whole new level, and he's absolutely incredible. He's got a WAR of 6.2 halfway through the season. I mean, he's on pace for 12 wins above replacement season, which is unreal. He's batting .338. He's got 26 homers and 62 RBIs.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I'm going to be looking forward to in the second half of the season is we actually have a real shot at having a triple crown winner in the National League, and it could be either Bryce Harper or Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt does not get anywhere near the media coverage that Harper gets, and I think it's because he plays in Arizona, a team that nobody really pays attention to at all. But Harper is second in batting average, second in home runs, and fourth in RBIs in the National League. Paul Goldschmidt is first in batting average, first in RBIs, and fifth in home runs. So either one of these guys could win the Triple Crown. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But also, either one of these guys could prevent the other one from winning the Triple Crown.
And that definitely seems like the more likely scenario. It's just so hard to win the Triple Crown. I mean, it's only been done 17 times in history. Now, the most recent one was 2012, Miguel Cabrera. But before that, the last time it had happened was 1967. So history is really against having a Triple Crown winner in any given season, and I don't think this year will be any different.
Yeah, but I think that's exactly why it's going to be exciting to keep an eye on it and see if either of these guys can actually pull it off. I love it. I love it.
Oh, definitely. It's shaping up to be a very interesting season, especially for these stars.
So what's the one thing you're looking forward to for the second half of the season?
I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on your division, the AL East.
Yes, so interesting.
The AL East has been so neck and neck. A couple weeks ago, the AL East became the first division to have five 40-win teams when no other division had even four. And now, as of recording, they only have one team with a record that's above 500, and that's your Yankees, who are nine games over.
Yankees are going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs. I think we're going to win the World Series. Yes! Go Yankees! Just that's kidding. I don't think they're going to.
Good, because they're not. They're good, though.
They are going to win the division, though. Boston has no pitching. Baltimore's fallen apart lately. Toronto has no pitching. They can hit the cover off the ball. The only real team in this division, I think, is Tampa Bay, and my confidence in them is not very high.
No, and they've got a new manager now trying to figure things out with him. They had a very disappointing season last year. They still have a lot of talent on the roster, but I don't think they have what it takes to compete with the better managed and better funded Yankees.
Yeah. So at this point in the season, let's just give some real quick predictions about who the playoff teams are going to be. I'll start with the American League. I'll go with the Yankees, Royals, and Angels as division winners. And then as wild cards, I'm going to go with Minnesota, I think, just because they have such a good record right now. And I'm going to go with Detroit. I think they turn it around.
The only disagreement I have with your American League predictions is I think the Angels are kind of going to fall apart. I have no confidence in this team, despite their wealth of talent. They just don't seem to have what it takes on a regular basis to make it to the playoffs, or at least to win the division, despite how good their talent level is. I think the Houston Astros are actually going to take this division.
That would certainly be a surprise.
So, yeah, I do think the Angels will come in as a wild card team. In the National League, I like the Washington Nationals to win their division. I don't think that the Mets have the offense that it's going to take to get it done. And then St. Louis obviously already has the Central wrapped up. Although Pittsburgh actually is only 3.5 games back, they might come and take it, but I don't think so. I think the Cardinals are just going to win that division. And then I like the Dodgers a lot for the West. And then the wild card teams, I think, are going to be Pittsburgh and the Cubs. So you'll get two wild card teams, both from the Central Division.
I totally agree with you on the Nationals and the Mets. The Mets don't have what it takes. They cannot hit the ball. They have the worst batting average in the major leagues. So I don't believe in them at all. In the Central, definitely the Cardinals. They're a scary team. They're probably the best team in baseball, and I would not want to play them in the playoffs or the regular season, to be honest with you. And in the West, it's hard to go against the Dodgers, especially with rumors of them possibly trading for Johnny Cueto. That's going to be a scary rotation if they get him. So I'm going with the Dodgers too. Wild card, it kills me to say it, but I think I have to agree with you on the Pirates and the Cubs. Just because the Cubs' schedule for the rest of the season is so easy, I think they're going to win enough games to sneak in as the wild card. So it kills me to do it. You know it does, but I think the Cubs are going to make the playoffs.
None of the other wild card contending teams scare me that much. I'm not worried about the Mets. I don't think they're for real. Maybe San Francisco.
Yeah, they're the one team that could do it.
And they tend to be really good in the second half, really put things together towards the end. But I like the Cubs to make the playoffs as that second wildcard spot. What do you think of our midseason predictions? Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. When we come back, we're going to talk about the recent NFL mega contract and do some sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
You're listening to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That guy over there is Matt. Right now we're going to talk some NFL. We're about 50 days away from the NFL season. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Woohoo!
So we just had some mega contracts signed. Two wide receivers and one outside linebacker. Let's start with the wide receivers. Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas signed almost identical deals about 30 minutes apart from each other. There's rumors about collusion between the two teams on these contracts.
Let's get to the contracts first. They're both 5 years, $70 million deals. So these guys were looking to get paid, and they did.
They certainly did. And they both got a lot of guaranteed money. Dez got $45 million guaranteed. Demaryius Thomas got $43.5 million guaranteed. Those are both really good. So it's a good deal for them. And it's a team-friendly deal as well because they're both backloaded. The last 2 years of each contract have a lot more money on them than the first 3 years do. So it really helps the team's salary caps in that respect.
Yeah, it does. And I found it interesting. Everyone's talking about how these are such big deals. I wanted to compare it to, like, the blockbuster deal of all time for wide receiver deals. That's Calvin Johnson. Was looking up his deal. He got a 7-year, $132 million deal a couple years ago. And so that was when the salary cap was lower, first of all, for more dollars, more years, and more guaranteed money. He got $60 million guaranteed. So these contracts are still dwarfed by Calvin Johnson's deal. But even so, these guys have both been compensated for the high level of production they've both put out.
Yeah, they're still both making like $15, $16 million a year, which is outstanding, especially for a wide receiver. I think a part of the reason that their contracts were lower than Calvin Johnson's is there seems to be like kind of a mini explosion of this type of number one super duper wide receiver now. You know, you've got Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, Julio Jones. You got some young guys like Mike Evans. You got Sammy Watkins. A lot of these guys are coming out now. So this type of player isn't as rare as it was in 2012.
A lot more guys as they're growing up are going into the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And so there's been a talent migration to that position, which has led to so much more depth at that position.
Yeah, and the other big contract that got signed was Justin Houston, who signed for $101 million. Which is $1 million more than J.J. Watt's contract was worth.
Those are both huge deals, and I can't really say either one's too much of an overpay. J.J. Watt obviously isn't. You pay that guy whatever it takes to get him locked up forever, because he's going to go down as one of the best defensive players of all time.
No doubt.
Maybe the best. We'll see. His career is still just getting going. The things he's done already have just been eye-popping.
Yeah, absolutely. And Justin Houston, I think, is worth a huge contract, too. Because Justin Houston essentially had two really good years. To get rewarded for that with a contract bigger than J.J. Watt's is really opening the door for some players in the future.
And part of that is a little blown out of proportion, too. We have this conversation every year about this guy's so overpaid, but the salary cap goes up every year as the league becomes more profitable every year. So guys are always going to be getting bigger and bigger contracts. It makes more sense to evaluate guys' contracts as a percentage of the salary cap rather than the absolute number. So on a bit of a tangent, people are criticizing Russell Wilson for looking to be the best paid player in all of football and saying this guy can't have a higher contract than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a way better quarterback than Russell Wilson, and that's obviously true. But when Aaron Rodgers got his deal, the salary cap was so much lower than it is now. So his deal was a higher percentage of the team's salary cap than what Russell Wilson is looking for at this point.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson is going to be the highest paid player in football for a little while because Andrew Luck's contract is going to be up soon, and then he's going to be the highest paid player in football. That's just the way things are going. But these three guys that signed these huge contracts all absolutely deserve it. They're all game-changing athletes, and they deserve to get paid. Before we go to Sports Madness, I just want you, Matt, and you, Johnny, to show me your hands. You guys both have all your fingers. You do?
Yep,
everyone's got all their fingers. That's good.
Because... Hold on, I'm still counting. 7, 13. Yeah, we're good. I got 11.
We had two NFL players lose fingers. Marcus Smart dislocated two fingers. Jimmy Fallon almost lost a finger. So I just want to make sure that we're all doing okay because it's been a pandemic the last couple of weeks. All right. Sports Madness?
Sports Madness.
One story that just broke was Team USA beat France 82-0 at the World Championship semifinal round.
As expected, we should dominate everyone in this sport. We invented this sport. We're the only country who plays it prolifically. It makes total sense.
Now, a lot of people probably haven't even heard of the International Federation of American Football, at least until this story broke. But Team USA does always dominate this, and that's especially funny because of the rules that we impose on our teams. And these rules include that professionals from any U.S. or Canadian league are ineligible. So if you've been in the NFL at all, you're not eligible to play for the IFAF league. Players must have graduated from college, so current college players aren't eligible. Players must be no more than 1 year removed from college, so you've just got this tiny window of players who are eligible. And all levels of the NCAA and NAIA athletics are required to be represented, not just Division I. So we've just got this tiny pool out of the total possibility of players who could be eligible for this, and it limits it because no one who's a professional or has ever been a professional can play, and yet we still just always deliver utter shellackings to everyone that we face.
Yeah, we should dominate this tournament, and we always do. The next best team is Mexico, and we beat them 36-3 or something like that, so... We always dominate that. Our next story is another football story. We're doing a lot of football this week. I love it. It's great. It's about Deflategate. Deflategate is back. So excited.
Of course it is. Deflategate's never going away.
But this is actually about one of the footballs that was used during that game. Brandon LaFell gave the ball to a fan after LeGarrette Blount scored a touchdown, and the fan decided to auction it off. It sold for $43,740.
Who the fuck is paying that much money for this football?
I have no idea who bought it, but I do know the person who sold it was disappointed because she thought it was going to reach six figures.
That's absurd. Why would you want this football in your collection? Like, I mean, I guess I'd like to have it too for like $20. You know, that's about what it would be worth to me. I don't know why you'd pay five figures for this ball.
Well, Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball sold for $3 million. So, and if you compare it to this, 43 grand is kind of a good deal. Our last story is about my favorite basketball player who is doing everything he can to not be my favorite basketball player anymore. Carmelo Anthony went to the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Sports Awards, and while he was there, he was going to attempt to set the Guinness World Record for the most high fives in 30 seconds. So they made a tunnel of kids, and he ran through and gave them all high fives, and he failed. He did not set the record. The record is 130 high fives in 30 seconds, and he only got 120.
And did something happen to cause him to fail?
Yes, something did happen. Carmelo Anthony happened. With about 8 seconds left on the clock, he started jumping up and down like, yeah, I did it. And everyone's like, dude, run. You still have more time. Like, go. So he wasted about 6 seconds jumping up and down, and then he missed it by 10 high fives.
Carmelo Anthony can't win anything.
He won a title in college, but since then, he can't win anything. This is terrible.
Come on, Carmelo. Why are you celebrating now? You're 10 yards from the goal line. Let's get it in.
All you have to do is run through a tunnel of kids and hit their hands, and he couldn't even do that.
Some men just with the premature celebration. I don't know.
It reminds me of Nick Young shooting that three-pointer and celebrating as, as it rimmed out.
That one was great. That's all we got for Sports Appeal. Find us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, give us a nice review, tweet us at The Sports Appeal. We are produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio, and taking us out is going to be Brazil by Full Service. Stitch up that old coat and the tears.
Hazard Audio.